With us, always Urmila Mataji. So let's welcome Mataji in a great Haribol.
Haribol!
He is also accompanied by her grandson, His Grace Jai Vaita Prabhu. Let's give him a great Haribol.
Haribol!
And also his good wife, Rasa.
Mataji.
Sasamki Mataji. So let's give her
a great.
For those of you who have not met Mataji before, who are seeing her for the first time, here's a brief introduction which I would like to read. Urmila Devidasi, Dr. Edith West, joined ISKCON in the year 1973 in Chicago. She received first initiation in 1973 and second initiation in 1975 from His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the year 1996, Urmila and her husband, Prayer Gosha, entered the renowned order of Vanaprastha. They have 3 grown married children and 14 grandchildren. She is the acting chair of the Shastric Advisory Council to ISKCON's GBC and has been an associate editor of Back to God magazine since 1990. She has taught the entire Bhaktishastri course for 15 times and is a professor of sociology and education at Bhaktivedanta College of Radhadesh. She travels worldwide teaching Shastra as well as practical courses in education and organization. Urmila Mataji has 3 decades of experience teaching primary and secondary students, which include 19 years of experience as a school administrator and leader. She has a master's degree in school administration and a PhD in educational leadership from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Mataji has written and published many books, including Vaikuntha Children, The Great Mantra for Mystic Meditation, dozens of articles, and an 83-book complete literacy program called Learn to Read with technology enabling the storybooks to speak in 25 languages at the touch of a special pen. Some of us have it too, and kids have benefited a lot from that. And very recently, Mataji has also authored a book called Essence Seekers. She's going to talk about that tomorrow. Mataji will have a seminar on that, as well as we have some books for the distribution here with an autograph from Mataji. So, without further ado, we will have the session.
Thank you, Hare Krishna. Okay, so tonight we're going to be going very deeply into one of the most heart-wrenching and informative parts of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam that answers a question that I think most of us have asked. Why doesn't Krishna reciprocate with me in a way that makes sense to me? Why is it that I'm serving, I'm doing so many things, but I don't get the reciprocation from Krishna that is something that I can understand? And this was something that happened not only to us, but also to the gopis. So maybe the gentlemen who are sitting right there, maybe we could move the chairs here. Because the only other choice is that I sit down there and then it's harder for people to see. So what time can we go to?
It's 8:35 now. Sit till 9:45.
So I'm not sure how loud this is going to be. There's a lot of sound in this presentation. So the story starts long ago. In fact, millions and millions and millions of years ago, when Ram was on the planet, there were many sages in the forest. They saw Ram and they thought, I would like to marry him. But Ram had taken Ekapatni Vrat, and there was no possibility that he could marry all of the sages. So they had to wait until he appeared again, millions of years later, as Krishna. And then there were the personified Vedas who saw Krishna's Leelas and said, oh, I would like to enter Krishna's Leelas as a gopi. But they had to wait until the next day of Lord Brahma, when Krishna came again. Finally, the sages from Ram's Leela and the personified Vedas and so many other jivas who had performed sadhana for so many lifetimes took birth as gopis in Gokula. There, again, they waited. Finally, one night, Krishna played his flute. And each gopi thought, Krishna is only calling my name with his flute. And they went out in the middle of the night. And they went into the dark forest. After waiting for so many millions and millions of lifetimes, finally, they were finally there with Krishna, and he said, transcendental love for me arises by the devotional processes of hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating on me, and faithfully chanting my glories. The same result is not achieved by mere physical proximity. So, please go to your homes. Be good wives. Go back, take care of your husbands and your children. The gopi said, we've waited for millions and millions of lifetimes to be with you, and we're not going home. Then Krishna accepted them. They played, they laughed, they walked by the river Yamuna. They smiled at each other, they held each other's hands. Oh, the gopis were finally, with their beloved Krishna. And then, just as they were enjoying the height of their heart's desire, they turned around. And he was gone. He left not only them, he even left Radharani. They were looking everywhere for him. They became practically like crazy people, following his footprints deep into the forest. Finally, after so many millions and millions and millions of lifetimes, we finally had Krishna. Walking with him and smiling and holding his hand. Then he went away. They went deeper and deeper into the forest. They could not find him anywhere. Finally, they sat down and began to sing. Service, but we may feel things are dry, We may have moments of sweet reciprocation where Krishna seems there for us, and he seems to just go away. Sometimes other devotees do the same things that we do, and they seem to get advancement and taste, and we're left with nothing. The process seems to go differently for different persons, and why is that? So the section is based on these verses from the Bhagavatam. Can we read the English together? Sri Krishna had awakened romantic desires within the gopis, and they honored him by glancing at him everywhere with playful smiles, gesturing amorously with their eyebrows and massaging his hands and feet as they held them in their laps. Even while worshipping him, however, they felt somewhat angry, and thus they addressed him as follows. The gopis said, "Some people reciprocate the affection only of those who are affectionate toward them, while others show affection even to those who are indifferent or inimical. And yet others will not show affection towards anyone. Dear Krishna, please properly explain this matter to us." So this presentation is based on these verses from the Bhagavatam, as well as Srila Prabhupada's explanation in Krishna book, and also Kavi Karnapura's explanation in Ananda Vrindavan Thakur of the same part of the Leela. So when the gopis were saying this to Krishna, they were thinking, and also the commentaries of the acharyas to the Bhagavatam, what gentleman would call for his beloved only to send her home again? What gallant would show his affection and then abandon his darling in the dead of night in the jungle? What hero would neglect his heroine and show no remorse at her tears? The gopis inquired from one another, "We exhibit our love without reservation. Why doesn't Govinda reciprocate with us? Does he relish some perverse pleasure from abandoning us in the dead of night?" So sometimes we see ourselves as victims, isn't it? We think, I'm doing so much for Krishna, he's abandoning me. So they were thinking like that, talking to each other. They said, "We should question him in paradoxical language so that he'll be forced to admit his ingratitude. Posing a general question about love, we shall confirm our own submission and reveal the true intent of our heart." This was the verse that we read. So they're sitting by the bank of the Yamuna and massaging Krishna's hands and feet. It said that Krishna sat with each gopi, and each gopi could just see that Krishna was sitting next to her. But while they were massaging his hands and feet, they were a bit angry. Do we ever feel angry with Krishna when we serve him and he's just not there? Or we serve him and he's there and then he disappears? And imagine waiting millions and millions of years. They said, "Oh joy of our eyes, now please give us answers on one topic. Dear Krishna, we're ordinary women of Vrindavan. We do not know much about Vedic knowledge. What is right and what is wrong? We therefore put a question to you, and since you are very learned, you can answer it properly." Thus, being desirous of proving with his own words that the Supreme Lord is ungrateful, the gopis, acting according to ordinary custom, while hiding their real intentions, inquired from him. "Who is the best, most honest, loving person?" "Some people reciprocate the love only of those who show love towards them, while others show love even to those who are inimical or indifferent. Yet others don't show love towards anyone. Oh Krishna, which type are you?" this matter to us? You are the most knowledgeable among all moving and non-moving entities. Please consider and give your reply. What were they really asking? Do you have love for us? You just don't care? Or do you hate us? Now, we're going to be amazed by Krishna's answer to this question. But often we project our idea of material relationships onto Krishna. So the gopis were thinking, it's got to be one of three things. Either you love us, that was the exchange one, right? Or you just don't care. Or maybe you hate us. We don't know. Which is it? You may think like that, Krishna, you know, do you love me? Do you actually love me? Maybe you don't care. I'm a pretty small, insignificant living entity. I'm a pretty small planet in a pretty small universe. Maybe you just don't care. Maybe you actually hate me. People ask me all the time, I serve Krishna, and I lost all my money in business, and my daughter is sick, and my mother died. Krishna must hate me. But they were a little confused. They're thinking, well, if you have love for us, is it conditional love? No, no. Because one of us conditional affection gratifies those who persons who help him achieve his desires and does not neglect such persons. We've tried to help you, and you tried to kill us by letting us burn in the fire of separation from you. So I don't think you have conditional love. Oh, maybe it's unconditional. No. No, because you left us in the depth of night, in the fearful forest. And since even when you saw how much distress we were in, did bother you, maybe you just don't care about us. No. No, that's not true. You act to make us happy and you act to make us suffering. Do you hate us all the time? Is it perpetual enmity? No, no, you often do love us. Is it enmity because we don't reciprocate with you favorably? No, that's not true. We didn't do anything inimical to you. So there, we do this. You know, we try to put Krishna into a category according to our material understanding. Now, the gopis are doing something very important here. The children are fine, by the way. The gopis are doing something very important here. They don't understand, and they're taking their lack of understanding to Krishna. You know, in this world, if somebody doesn't understand what I've done, if somebody thinks I've done something wrong, I want them to ask who? Me, right? I don't want them to guess. Do you ever have people guess about you and it's just completely wrong? Right? And you're thinking, why don't you just ask me? I remember once on social media, I saw somebody writing, I wonder why Omi was doing this, and I'm thinking, just ask me why I'm doing it. So Krishna wants to be asked. So the gopis here are very intelligent. They're asking Krishna, why are you doing it? Of course, they're putting him in some material categories. And Krishna gives very interesting answers. So the gopis had three categories, yes? Those who reciprocate with those who love him, who love them. You love me, I will love you. Those who love people even who don't love them, and those who don't love anyone. That was their three categories. And they were trying to figure out in which category Krishna was. Okay. This is Krishna's answers. He gives nine. He takes these three and he expands them into. Those of you who have mobile phones, Could you please take them out and put them on vibrate? Could you do that right now? Just take them out, put them on vibrate. And you're going to leave them on ringer. The music has to match the presentation. Everybody, if you don't know how to put your phone on vibrate, ask the person next to you to show you how to do it. Okay, everybody did that. One time I said that and then my phone rang. But I think my phone's off. Okay, so we're going to go to Krishna's answers. So let's read the English of these verses together. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so-called friends who sow affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship, nor are they following the true principles of religion. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. My dear slender-waisted gopis, some people are genuinely merciful or like parents, naturally affectionate. Such persons who devotedly serve even those who fail to reciprocate with them are following the true faultless path of religion and they are true well-wishers. Then there are those individuals who are spiritually self-satisfied, materially fulfilled, or by nature ungrateful or simply envious of superiors. Such persons will not love even those who love them, but to speak of those who are inimical. So Krishna starts out by looking at them very sweetly. Just to show them, actually, I do love you. And then our acharyas say that he gave an answer that was a little humorous, but could revive a person from death. Now Krishna is going to give us 9 ways of understanding relationships. Some are better than others, some are worse than others. These 9 ways of understanding relationships apply to all of the kinds of material relationships that we have in this world. So while we're going through these 9 kinds of relationships, I'd like us to really think deeply about what kind of relationships do I have. Then Krishna is going to show how he's all of them and none of them. Okay, people who reciprocate the love only... Okay, let's try this again. Anyone who has a mobile phone, please take it out right now and put it on vibrate. And if you're expecting the Sultan of Oman to call you, you should probably just wait outside for the call. Can everybody have their phones on vibrate, please? Okay, so this is our first category. People who reciprocate the love only of those who show love toward them. Krishna said, oh dear slender-waisted gopis, people who show affection for each other only to benefit themselves are actually selfish. They have no true friendship. Indeed, if they did not expect benefit for themselves, they would not reciprocate. I think this is so heavy. Krishna says they're just like merchants. They give in loving affairs. As much as they get from the other party, practically there's no question of love. It is simply self-interested or self-centered business dealings. There is no permanent dharma, no prema with such persons. In such relationships, there is no feeling of friendship and consequently no happiness. Nor is their religiousness, since their ulterior motives are obvious. Even those without a tinge of loving affairs are better than those of merchants. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? There was a very popular book on the relationship between men and women, one of those books that sold millions and millions of copies. Lots of good advice, and that wasn't a bad one. But the person who wrote it had a section about how men and women keep score, like in a game. You know, you have a football game, basketball game. and there's a score, right? Each team gets a certain. And he's writing, okay, when men do things for women, what score does the woman give? And his idea was, if you buy the woman a flower, she gives you 1 point, and if you buy her a house, she gives you 1 point. And then how do men keep score? And the idea was, you have to make sure that you're not taking too much, that you're also giving. But Krishna's saying this idea of keeping score, being a merchant, what did he say? No love, no friendship, no dharma, no happiness. He said, better don't pretend to love than be a merchant. Many times in our relationships, they're based on merchant. How do we know they're based on merchant? Whenever we think or we say, but I've done so much for you. What about what you're doing for me? Merchant relationship. That is a merchant relationship. When I feel, hey, this other person isn't appreciating my sacrifices, they take me for granted. I'm giving, but I'm not getting any. Merchant relationship. If we're calculating like that, we're dealing with a merchant relationship. And Krishna just condemns it. He has nothing good to say about it. Right? What did he say? No permanent dharma, no prema, no feeling of friendship, no happiness, no religiousness, no love. There you don't pretend to love, then be a merchant. Okay. Next category. Those who sow affection, even to those who are indifferent or inimical. And here Krishna gives two types. Those who are compassionate to everyone, or like parents, having natural, biological affection. Lovingly serve even those who fail to reciprocate. So, Krishna says, dharma and prema are lasting in such persons. They feel the happiness and distress of those they love like their own, even when there is no reciprocation. This is the preacher who goes out into the world to help others, even if those people are ungrateful. Someone like Prahlad Maharaj, who loved his father, even though his father tried to kill him. Now, Prahlad was not a fool. He said to Nisingadev, my father was a very sinful person who committed many offenses against you and many offenses against me. He wasn't some kind of wishy-washy fool. But he never had any enmity towards his father. I mean, if someone's trying to kill you, Prahlad couldn't leave. You know, he was a five-year-old boy and his father was running the whole universe. Where was he going to go? There was no police force. His father was running the police force. There was no child protection services. You know? What was he going to do? He couldn't go away. So if someone's trying to kill you, please don't just stand there. You should take care of yourself. But not have enmity. You understand? Not have enmity. He still cared. May my father be blessed. May those who try to harm me or actually harm me, may they all be blessed. That doesn't mean you should let somebody break your head. That's not what it means. But it means that you should bless those, as Jesus said, bless those who curse you and do good to those who harm you. And Krishna said, O thin-waisted woman. And the Acharyas say, this middle question, like your beautiful waist, describes your pure love for me. You love me even when I do not reciprocate. Indeed, my lack of reciprocation is to show the world this pure love of yours. So Krishna is saying, my dear gopis, even when I went away, even when I left you, you got angry with me. Gopis got angry with Krishna, but they never stopped loving him. They didn't say, okay, Krishna, after all these millions of years, you're with us a little bit, you tease us that you're going to be with us, and then you leave. Okay, we don't love you anymore. No, they were angry. They were upset. They never stopped loving. And this is love on the spiritual platform. When we don't hate anyone, as the Ishvarupanishad says, never hate anyone or any being. For our love for others is not dependent on how they treat us. Again, that doesn't mean you should let people mistreat you. If you can do something about it, that's not what this means. But it means you don't stop loving. You may have to love them. They may have to be in a jail. But you still love them. You understand? No hatred for anyone. The merchant relationship is I love you for what you do for me. It means I don't love you. I love what you're doing for me. It means I don't love what you're doing for me. I love me. And I'm simply using you. But real love is I love you for you. My happiness, I feel happy at your happiness. I'm unhappy at your unhappiness. And another category of this is family members, especially parents. So this isn't as high as a category. Because the reason parents feel like this toward their children is they feel the children are part of them. You know, I love my hand because my hand is part of my body. So parents love their children because they quite literally feel that the children are part of them. But still, we see actually, even in the animal kingdom, the strongest bond is not the mating bond, it's the parental bond. Did you know that? Especially the mother, of course, in the animal world, will sacrifice her life for the sake of the children. And in some cases, the father also. You know, among the birds, where the parent bird will act injured to draw away the predator, so the predator will go follow them and the babies will be safe. So the sacrificing oneself for the happiness of another is particularly, it's seen in a family in general, I mean between husband and wife and brothers and sisters, but particularly, and children to parents also, but particularly from the parents to the children. Okay? So then we have next big category is the ungrateful people. So here Krishna is giving several different kinds. We have the Atma Arama, those who are self-satisfied. So someone who doesn't care about the world. They're happy with it. They're spiritually satisfied with it. And so they don't really reciprocate anybody's love or not reciprocate anybody's love. They're just experiencing spiritual happiness within themselves. Then there's the Aptikama. So the Aptikama are people who can fulfill all their own desires. And all their desires are therefore fulfilled. And so they don't feel any need for loving relationships. So you have the Atmarama, they don't feel any need for loving relationships because they're spiritually satisfied. The Aptikama don't feel any need for loving relationships because they are materially satisfied. Then you have the Akrita Gyan. So these people are ungrateful. They take from others, but they're not even aware. Oh, it's up here. Didn't match. This is about ungrateful people. That was such a pretty beautiful scene. So these people, they don't notice what other people do for them. They're just like unconscious. I'm sure you've dealt with people like that, right? You do things for them, they don't even see it. Have you ever been with people like that? They're just not aware at all of what you're doing for them, like you're invisible. And they have any gratitude? Yeah? You ever dealt with people like that? You give them things, you give them things, you give them things, you sacrifice your time, your energy, your money, and they don't even notice. And they might say, what have you done for me? You've never done anything. They're just like blind. Although they have capability to reciprocate the love of others, but they're distracted by their own sense objects. They never consent to help those from whom they have received benefit. Their natural characteristic is ingratitude. They just take. Okay, then you have the Guru Druha. He can laugh, it's okay, it's a funny picture. This is about those who are inimical to those who help them. So you have the Kritikya, they don't even notice. They're so self-absorbed. But these people, they actually become the enemies of those who help them. I mean, I noticed something strange when I was running a Gurukula, and other people have told me the same strange phenomena. So we have certain parents who are a pleasure to work with. We have certain parents who were a great pain to work with. And then we had other parents that were almost like they didn't exist. They were so uninvolved. Huh? So I realized that all of the parents who were really difficult, every single one of them, were from families where we had done them some sort of favor. Now, some of the people that we had done a favor toward were also grateful and polite or neutral. But every one of the inimical people were people we had done a favor for. And I was really confused about this. And I realized that a lot of people don't like a feeling of being in debt. And if they feel that someone's done something for them, they may actually try to harm them. So this is the Guru Druha. Now, we have several types of Guru Druhas. So one of them have hatred and there's some reason. Somebody hurt them and so they, so maybe it's like, let's say someone has helped you a lot, let's say they've helped you this much, but they also hurt you this much. And then you may have some feeling of enmity toward them because they did do something bad, even though they did all this good. That's the first category. Second category is hating people who've only done good to you. They've only done good, they've protected you, they've cared for you, only hating them. And the third category is not only hating people who've done good for you, but actually trying to hurt them, backstabbers we call them, right? Again, I'm sure we've all experienced this. We've done only good for someone and they want to harm us. Okay, let's look at a summary of these nine verses. So these are the nine types that Krishna gives. First is, appears to be loving, but it's really a selfish business exchange. The next is, selfless giving. First category, the pure devotees. Now, you could say, well, I've tried to do that selfless giving thing, and I just get exhausted. So the only way that one can do genuine selfless giving, please listen very carefully. The other day, I said that when I had a translator in Dubai, I said, now please listen carefully so he can stop translating. So, is if the reason we're giving is to please Krishna. So if you keep having a merchant mentality, if inside you have a merchant mentality and you just artificially say, I'm going to give, eventually you get exhausted and you explode. I'm sure some of you have experienced that. So the only way to give selflessly all the time without caring about the other person's reciprocation is if I'm giving to please Krishna and I'm getting reciprocation from Krishna. It's the only way to do it. There's just no other way to do it. And we can practice doing that. Don't think, oh, well, that's only for Prahlad Maharaj. We can practice doing that where we are right now in Krishna consciousness. So I can practice being kind to my husband, my wife, my children, my mother, my father, my boss, my employees, the person at the shop, the person in front of me in the car, whoever it is. I can practice treating them with respect and with kindness so Krishna will smile, not so they will appreciate me. I can do it so Krishna will appreciate me. We don't stop looking for appreciation, but we look for it from Krishna instead of from that person. And that is the best situation of love, is category 2A. Now, if we can't do that, at least we should do 2B. At least we should have this mood of family. That's a material platform. And it's not perfect. Because even within a family, we sometimes may have a merchant mentality. But at least that. At least to have a family mood, and at least within our own family. And better to see the world as family. Or at least one's community as family. But just having the family mood of selfless giving is not going to be enough. Savaikam sampro dharma, ito bhaktir hachikaya, hoitukiya pratiyataya yatmasukhashivati. Only this spiritual platform is going to fully satisfy us. Okay, then we have the people who are indifferent. So Krishna gives different categories of indifferent. One who's satisfied spiritually and just like, I don't care about the world, love and love. One who's satisfied materially and doesn't care. And then the ungrateful, they're just ungrateful, they're just a fool, they just don't notice. Then you have the inimical. And under the inimical, those who hate with a cause, even though there's a lot of good, they have one cause that they hate. Those who hate, those who protect, they hate without a cause. And those who injure, not just hate, but actually injure without a cause. So these are all of the relationships, the 9 types of relationships that Krishna identifies. As far as possible, we should try for our relationships to be in the second category. Now the gopis heard all this, and they were thinking, you're not any of those persons you described in your answers to the first 2 questions. You're not a selfish materialist, nor a merciful devotee, nor a mother or father. Okay, please tell us which type of ungrateful person you are. So finally now, Krishna's going to answer why he doesn't always reciprocate in ways that make sense to us, even if we're as elevated as the gopis. So if we could say these verses again in English together. But the reason I do not immediately reciprocate everyone, the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you have rejected the authority of worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Okay, going to the commentary of the Acharyas. saying I don't immediately reciprocate the affection of those who worship me. So, I'm not the first type who does business exchange. Right? Krishna saying, am I a merchant? Nope, not a merchant. You give something to me, I don't give anything back. Remember that picture? He's serving Krishna and Krishna's looking away. So, not a merchant. But, I kind of am a merchant. Then, because I said, I will respond as they worship me. So please don't think that only if I'm present, I respond. And if I'm not present, I don't respond. Because I've made a promise, I will respond accordingly. So Krishna's saying, I'm not like a merchant, but I kind of am like a merchant. Even when it doesn't look like that. Alright, let's look at the second category. He says, I'm not the second category of those who love, even those who are indifferent, because I don't show compassion to those who are indifferent. Here's Krishna with Arjuna and Duryodhana. Krishna favored Duryodhana. Arjuna and Duryodhana he ignored. Said so. I'm not the second category either. Oh, but I am the second category. I'm very merciful, just like you gopis. That is, I am the person who worships, even if the object of worship does not respond. And Krishna loves us, even when we don't love him. Isn't it? He's the best friend of all living entities, even those who are indifferent. So Krishna's like, I'm not a virgin, but I'm a virgin. I am not a selfless giver, depending even if people are indifferent, and I am a selfless giver, even if everyone is indifferent. And I'm not in those four categories of people who are indifferent. As Narayana, I am not Marami and up to coming. That's true. As Narayana, I am spiritually satisfied and I can manifest all I desire, but as the son of Nanda Maharaj, I'm not. I'm independent. Daddy, feed me. I'm hungry. I don't appear to be Abhirami or Abhikami. I'm not Abhirami, completely self-satisfied, just in meditation, because I've been attracted by your hideous conversation. So although Krishna is satisfied within himself, he's actually attracted to us. Right? Someone who's fully satisfied, they're not attracted to anything. But Krishna is attracted to us. He says, furthermore, as the benevolent benefactor of every living entity, I am not indifferent to the needs of the countless jivas throughout the creation. Do I not fulfill the desires of everyone? Eko bhavanam yogadadhikam. How then can the allegation of indifference be levied against me? And I am not up to coming, free from any desires. Because being subjugated by the devotee's love, he has a need to protect and maintain. He needs nothing. But he can't help but fulfill the desires of his devotees. Because the devotees only desire to serve him, he becomes obliged to welcome and reciprocate their love. He feels a need. How does God feel a need? He has everything. He has everything, but he feels a need. I need to reciprocate with my devotees. I am self-satisfied. Due to possessing unlimited self-sufficient opulences, but when I savor the love of my devotees, I count your hanker for their service, and I give up my position as the topmost priority. So Krishna's saying, I'm an Abhirami up to coming, and I'm not an Abhirami, and I'm not an up to coming. Ah. What about a foolish person? I'm not an ecritic yet, I'm a foolish, ungrateful person. After all, Krishna knows everything, right? As the Ryan, I'm kritigya, I'm all-knowing. There is a small counterpoint. I haven't read the Niti Shastra, and I'm ignorant, and I don't know what's going on. So Krishna is the greatest, wisest person. How can he not notice what people do for him? He notices a little grain of chipped rice you give to him. He notices a little bit of water. I visited a devotee's house. They have very small deities. You seem like very, very small, like deities of Jagannath, really, really small, you see? And so next to these very, 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 very small deities, they have a very, 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 very small water cup. Like this big. And that water cup you have to fill with an eye drop. One drop, you don't care. Krishna notices. Oh! He gave me one drop of water. He noticed Putana, who wanted to kill him. So he's not foolish. But you could say, as a little boy in Vrindavan, he's not educated. He's foolish. So he's not a Kritikya, and he is a Kritikya. Even if one can say that as a little coward boy, having gone to school, I give myself to one who gives a little tulsi leaf or a little water. So, he's not ungrateful. Well, you could say I'm Guru Juni, that I heard those who helped me, because you did so much for me. I once gave you up after you had been satisfied, many times, but I'm not Guru Juni. Because I come back. I didn't go away forever. So I'm not a cruel person, hating those who hate. You could say, okay, he is a Guru Juni because he left the gopis. They almost died in madness. But he's not a Guru Juni because he came back. So he's all of them, and he's none of them. Does that help? Does that help? No, it doesn't help me at all. So what's the answer? For the aspiring devotees who have not yet attained prema, for those surrendered souls who worship me through non-kirtan and other means, I do not respond in order to make their worship more perfect. Not seeing me, those surrendered souls develop humility. Everything I've done has been useless because I am an offender, and I do not get a drop of mercy. I am the most unfortunate. Do you ever think like that? Constantly thinking in this way, bhakti grows prominently, devoid of lust and anger. As soon as we think, oh yes, Krishna's reciprocating with me, I'm so advanced, I've done so much bhakti, of course Krishna's reciprocating with me. That's not love. But we think, although I've done so much, obviously it's full of offenses. I have to keep being devoted to Krishna. Oh, this is so sweet. Krishna says, seeing them suffer in lonely places, I endure pain 1,000 times more than theirs. What can I do? Their sincere prayers amaze me, but their hot tears scorch my heart, and their faint of despair causes me to swoon. Still, for their sake, I wait in silence. I endure it all to ripen their love. You ever picked the fruit before it was ripe? Here in Oman, we often get fruit picked before it was ripe, isn't it? Not very good. Yeah, it's like hard, you know? I had some people once give me unripe plums and unripe peaches. Not here, Toto. Another part of the world. I'm like, how can I eat this? Crunchy, crunchy pears. Crunchy plums, crunchy peaches. So Krishna wants our love to ripen. He wants it to mature. And for that purpose, he may have to withdraw a little. Because if he comes and reciprocates with us fully before it's mature, we never mature it. You understand? We just say, oh, okay, now done. Pure devotional service. No, you're not right. So you may come a little bit, hi, here I am, and he goes away. And then we want it more and more and more and more and more. And it pushes us to mature our devotion. We want to mature our devotion, yeah? We want to become a ripe fruit. You know, we have to do this with our children and the people we love. Sometimes we have to say, look, you have to mature this way. If I'm always there helping you, helping you, helping you, you'll never grow, you'll never learn. Isn't it? When my father was teaching me how to ride a bicycle, he didn't believe in putting the extra wheels on the back. So he was holding the bicycle and running with me. And then after a while, he let go. Right? Because I had to mature. Now what about for the devotees who have prema? Here Krishna says, I do not immediately respond or show myself to those who worship me because I want to intensify their loving attachment. Now this is what we want. We want a loving relationship that keeps getting better and better and better. We read that in the Bhagavatam about Aniruddha and Usha, that their love always grew by four times and four times and four times. We hope for that in this world. Right? When people get married, they're hoping that our love will keep growing and growing. And so when we're 40, we'll love each other more than when we were 20. And when we're 80, we'll love each other more than when we were 40. That doesn't always happen, unfortunately. But that's what we're looking for. We're looking for some relationship where our love, our affection, our appreciation is always growing. So even for those who have prema, Krishna may sometimes appear to withdraw in order to have a relationship that keeps growing. He says, they then become absorbed in remembering me, just like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, can think of nothing else. I respond to them additionally, but in a covered way. We see this with Narada, right? Krishna spoke to him and he said, you're not going to see me again in this lifetime. Especially when we get some amazing reciprocation from Krishna and then it's just gone. Then we just think of it all the time. Oh, when will I see Krishna again? When will I see Krishna again? When will I hear Krishna again? When will I feel Krishna's presence? When will I be able to have a japa session like I had then? That time, oh, my japa was so full of bliss and reciprocation. And I was crying. When will I get it? When will I get it? When will I get it? I remember that kirtan. I remember when I was doing that service, when I was eating that prasada, when I was reading the scriptures, and it was so amazing. And when will I go again? I heard a story of some devotees who were traveling, doing book distribution in America, and they stopped at a petrol at a gas station in a very remote area. And some woman who was working in the station, she runs out and she says, ah, here the Hare Krishnas. Do you have one of those little white balls? I ate one 4 years ago and I never stopped thinking about it. So that's what Krishna does even to the devotees who have prayed. Says, you gopis, you're not in the categories of those who have not attained prema, and you're not in the categories of those who have attained prema. You are the limit of devotees. Then Krishna spoke with some regret. I've done something very regrettable, which was very improper for me. Devotee such of you has never existed in the past, do not exist now, and cannot exist in the future. It's not possible to increase or decrease your attachment for me at all by one atom or by a huge amount. Therefore, I desire to show the other prema bhaktas the great glory of your prema and separation. So Krishna is saying it's not like even for the devotees in prema, where I was appearing not to reciprocate, to increase your prema, because how can your prema increase? It's unlimited. But I wanted to show everybody else that even when I went away, you never stopped loving me. And do not think that I was away from you. I was always near to you. I was simply seeing how much you were anxious for me in my absence. Can you see Krishna in front of me? He said, you gave up all family connection to serve me, but I have not given up my family for you. Therefore, my promise to reciprocate is broken with you. I cannot repay you for your service. Please be happy with your own service. Then the gopis started to think, although the Supreme Lord, he is full of all qualities, although he is devoid of all faults, although he knows all about our love for him, in order to establish our superiority, in order to make himself a debtor to us, he has performed this act of giving us up. Now just see how clever Krishna is here. He turned the whole thing around. He turned the whole thing around. He said, you thought I was ungrateful, but I was trying to glorify you. I was trying to show how you're better than me. You gave up your families for me. I didn't give up my family for you. You loved me even when I left you in the forest in the middle of the night after millions and millions of births of desiring you. I did this to glorify you. And then the gopis felt a little ashamed. They said, we who wanted to defeat him and criticize his conduct with our riddles have been most unvirtuous in our intent. Whereas he desired to establish our excellence. You understand? They said, we wanted to criticize him and he wanted to praise us. We have finally been defeated by his prema. So we should always assume that Krishna's actions are loving. And after the gopis decided this, then they engaged in the very famous rasa dance, the pinnacle of all of Krishna's pastimes. I hope you like this presentation. So I think we have like maybe 5 minutes. If there's one, is that another phone? Yeah, I think we have about 5 minutes. If we have maybe one or two questions. What's the best type of relationship? Where you are simply serving someone to please Krishna without looking for anything for yourself from that other person. That what you are looking for is Krishna's pleasure, not the pleasure of that other person. Nor are you looking for anything from that person. You're not looking for any sort of... Is it really so hard to have your phones on vibrate? Just ask the person next to you, say, excuse me, I don't know how to put my phone on vibrate. Could you show me? So that's the best kind of relationship. When we have that kind of relationship with others, we feel completely satisfied no matter what happens in that relationship. Then we're able to keep being loving no matter what. Now, that doesn't mean, again, that you never quit a job, that you never change anything. But it means that we don't become disturbed. We don't become devastated, hurt, disturbed, angry, upset because of other people's dealing with us. We can always maintain a loving mood because we're not doing it for them, we're doing it for Krishna.
Like, he's not immediately responding.
Krishna may not be directly responding in a way that we can see, but we will experience satisfaction within. We will get that response. We may not get the response that Krishna shows up in front of you and says, so you can hear it and you can see him with your eyes. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Eventually we will get that. Eventually we will see Krishna with our eyes all the time and hear Krishna all the time. We may not get that, but we will get that satisfaction within. We will have peace, knowledge, understanding, and satisfaction within. And one very interesting thing is even if you do it mechanically, you'll see an effect. Even if you're just thinking, okay, what did Rama say in class? She said, just try to make Krishna smile and don't work for the happiness of the other person. Okay, all right. You don't like what I cooked for you tonight. You're not happy that I forgot to put petrol in the car. But I'm taking care of you, please, Krishna, not so you will treat me in a particular way. Okay, got it. You don't necessarily have to say that to the person. I don't think that's a very good idea. But inside. And also, then we can understand that when I am feeling anger, hurt, disappointment, bitterness, confusion, sadness, grief, da 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 da, because of other people's lack of reciprocation, I can look at it and say, oh, this is the natural effect of having a merchant relationship. And not hate those feelings. You understand? I can expect that if I have a merchant relationship, it's not the fault of the other person. Don't hate the other person and don't hate the feelings either. Just observe, oh, I'm acting as a merchant, therefore it is natural that these feelings are arising. Okay? Yes? Yes? Is that okay?
No, yeah, it's okay. But if a person gives a dream, Krishna or Narayana or a Narasimha in your dream, it could be a positive sign of Krishna.
Could be. Very nice if you get a dream of Krishna or
Krishna, Narasimha, Narayana,
Govinda. Mana. Very nice. That doesn't mean you should rule your whole life by dreams. Be careful.
Yeah.
But very nice. Mana. I had a dream that I'm, you know, I mean, just careful. Prabhupada came to me in a dream and told me that I'm supposed to do this. Please, that we're not running a sun by dreams. But if you see Prabhupada in a dream, that's very nice. One other question? Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. So we will gather again tomorrow night. Krishna will Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhagavatam ki.